From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with regional and statewide news. When a Matsu doctor pleaded with local patients last week to give more serious consideration to the COVID-19 vaccine, he didn't expect much. But then a surprising thing happened. People listened. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media has the story on how Alaskans' views on the vaccine may not be as inflexible as some people think.
Matsu emergency room doctor Tom Quimby has been convinced he can talk about the COVID vaccine until he's blue in the face, and public opinion still won't change. So when Alaska's chief medical officer, Ann Zink, asked him to be part of a forum for parents in his under-vaccinated region last week, he was skeptical.
I was just super frustrated, and Ann asked me to go, and I didn't really want to go because I just told her, I'm like, I think this is all a waste of time.
Quimby joined the online forum just after a tough shift in the emergency room. He described watching unvaccinated COVID-19 patients taking their last breaths and how the only openings in the ICU are because people are dying there. His remarks were published by multiple news outlets, including Alaska Public Media, and shared hundreds of times. Then Quimby started getting messages.
This one's good. I don't know this person. They said, in 53 minutes, my husband is finally receiving his second vaccine. He received one in the end of April along with me. He then decided he wasn't buying into COVID and wouldn't get the second shot. I asked him to listen to your five-minute speech, as nothing I've shared with him has made him realize the severity of the situation. Your words and genuine nature caused him to say, make me that appointment. I want to thank you for the impact on my family and for all you're doing.
That was far from the only message. Quimby says he heard from maybe a dozen people whose minds he'd changed about the vaccine or who knew someone he'd affected. Zink, the chief medical officer, also works shifts in the Matsu emergency department. She thinks people may be becoming more receptive to messages like Quimby's. She says on her last shift, she was also struck by her patient's openness.
I left my shift, my last shift this weekend, with five separate patients who I had a conversation about vaccination with, all of whom had not gotten vaccinated and were now interested and I think will get vaccinated. So I think we're at a different place.
One thing Zink sees as a potential change is the super contagious Delta variant, which is driving a big surge in COVID cases in Alaska and nationwide. She thinks that's creating more openness to the vaccine, particularly among school-aged children and their parents. Like for Quimby, Zink says last week was a tough one for her. But she adds that hearing her patients in the ER coming around to the vaccine helped change her own attitude.
It was incredibly uplifting for me to have those patients have a really meaningful conversation and to be, I mean, that alone, like, made my whole month, like, to have these patients make that decision. And I think we're too easy to write each other off.
Quimby's takeaway was the same. He says hearing from people whose minds he changed about the vaccine has given him new energy to keep spreading the message, even when it's stressing his friendships and generating negative feedback. He also thinks there's a lesson in the way he shared his perspective.
You know, I think we've really tried to go with this neutral data approach. And I wonder if people just need more emotional stories. You know, unfortunately, that's not like the best thing to make decisions in life over rational thought, but it seems like maybe just people need more of this emotional stuff that hits close to home.
While Quimby says he'll keep getting the word out about the vaccine, he says the situation in the emergency room is still grim. Over the weekend, he treated an unvaccinated COVID patient who came to Alaska for a parent's funeral, then had his other parent die from the virus and caught it himself. When Quimby left the hospital last weekend, the man's condition was deteriorating. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Seal meat makes up a good portion of what's in subsistence hunters' freezers in Kotzebue. However, the sea ice the seals haul out on is diminishing. And new research has shown the window to hunt seals is getting shorter as a result. KOTZ's Wesley Early has more.
Anupiaq hunter Cyrus Harris has harvested ugruk, or bearded seal, his whole life. For many people in Kotzebue and the surrounding region, the rotund mammal is a dietary staple.
Ugruk, you know, once we process it into a seal oil form along with and using it as a preservative for the meats, the product itself is very nutritious. You know, we may be processing this stuff in the month of June, but we're thinking ahead of time to prepare to fill our siglox or our storage with product that's going to run us through the winter.
Harris says the hunting season starts in the spring as the sea ice breaks up in the Kotzebue Sound. But he's noticed a change in the season length.
Once the ice flows break loose and are drifting north, we'd have about a two-week time frame to do that on a regular hunting season. But the shortest I see it happened was like about 3 days.
The stark decline in the season length can be directly linked to the decline in sea ice due to a warming climate. That's the finding of a new collaborative study conducted by the Native Village of Kotzebue and the International Arctic Research Center at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Alex Whiting is the Environmental Program Director for the Native Village of Kotzebue. He's a co-lead author on the study and has been documenting the change in the Ugaruk hunting season for almost 20 years. He says it's becoming more relevant as the tribe has studied the change in sea ice extent.
Notes that I had been taking since 2002 did show a pattern of shorter Ugaruk hunting seasons because the ice would disappear a little bit earlier and earlier over time.
That change is translated to an average loss of a day per year for the hunting season since 2002. The study found that the season is ending an average of 26 days earlier than normal. Whiting says the sea ice extent fluctuates.
Some years it resembles a little bit like it used to in the 20th century, but other years, like 2018 and 2019 in particular, by the time the Ugaruk hunting season began, the ice in Kotzebue Sound, which was, 70 to 80% gone already, looked more like it would at the end of June and beginning of July.
With these changes, Whiting says hunters are having to plan their hunts earlier in the year.
If they wait, all you need is like a week of strong west winds or something, and you could lose out on your opportunity for that year, because the Ugaruk hunting season only occurs during that short window of May, June.
To date, researchers haven't seen any drastic declines in hunters' ability to land Ugaruk, but it's largely due to hunters adapting to the shifting ice. Donna Hauser is a marine ecology researcher with the International Arctic Research Center and the other co-lead author on the study. She says normally hunters would have a lot more sea ice to travel out on to harvest Ugaruk, often meaning packing more gear and gas for their boats. That is changing as the sea ice extent becomes smaller.
Some sea ice that grounded close to Kotzebue within just, 10 miles. And so people could make more frequent, shorter trips, use less gear, less gas, and actually be really successful still. So hunters have really had to adapt to these changing conditions that has allowed them to, still be successful despite the sea ice loss.
In researching the impacts of sea ice extent on Ugaruk hunting, Hauser says the process was collaborative from the start. That meant input from more Western academics at the university level, but also the inclusion of village officials, as well as an Indigenous Elder Advisory Council, something Whiting from the tribal office says is a first. Hunters like Harris were added as co-authors of the study. Hauser says the co-production of knowledge was valuable, and the research wouldn't have been as robust without the inclusion of Indigenous knowledge from the study's inception.
This is really responding to Indigenous sovereignty over the entire research process. It creates a more inclusive and sustainable research process, which hopefully will lead to more equitable outcomes in terms of incorporating those Indigenous perspectives in climate change planning and adaptation.
As Hauser and others look forward to further collaboration, hunters like Harris say they're looking ahead to this upcoming winter to see what sea ice it'll bring for spring. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Volunteer searchers are heading out today to continue looking for an Oregon man who's been missing in the Juneau area for the last 4 days. Joe Clayton was last seen Friday morning before he left for a planned hike up Perseverance Trail. His car was later found at the Auk Lake boat ramp. During a search of the area over the weekend, searchers did not find any other trace of him. This afternoon, 8 friends and family members plan to search the trails to Spalding Meadows and the John Muir Cabin. New volunteers are asked to download and use the Gaia GPS app to record their search efforts for review later. Clayton is a 48-year-old white male, about 6'2" and 220 pounds. He was last seen wearing a t-shirt, jeans, and a light-colored backpack. Anyone seeing Clayton is advised against rushing up to him since he has anxiety that may force him to retreat. Overcast today with rain predicted tonight. Lows around the 50s and southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Rain predicted Wednesday and Wednesday night with temperatures in the 50s.